Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
This morning, the scripture reading is Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace and in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our afflictions, knowing that affliction produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is the word of the Lord.
Before we listen to God's message, let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, thank you so much for the day you've granted us, given us, the day in which we can rejoice as we lift up our voices in song, as we receive forgiveness from you by your grace, as we listen to our young people and shared your love with them, and also as we listened to the reading of your scripture, of your word. So bless us now with the message. And if there's anything that might prevent us from hearing the word, I pray that your spirit will remove the obstacles and open our lives and our hearts to receive you and your word. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So my door is always open. That statement sounds like good news to most of us, right? If an employer or a teacher or an elected official speaks those words to us with a welcoming smile, it means we enjoy access to that person. That person will make time for us, no matter what else may be going on. And as your pastor, I want you to know that my door is always open, okay? I have official office hours, yes, but I'm always available and prepared to make time when the need is urgent. I just want you to know that. So please know that my door is always open. You have access to me whenever you need it. Because you see, access is a precious commodity in the world we're living in. In Washington, D.C., lobbyists, you know, pay big money in the form of campaign contributions to buy access to elected officials. And whenever a former senator or member of the president's cabinet signs on with one of those lobbying agencies a few blocks from the Capitol, alarm bells go off, right? Because these former officials have recently had extraordinary access to the highest levels of government. And it may now appear as if they're trying to sell that access to the highest bidder. In today's passage, the Apostle Paul speaks about access. He talks about access to grace. He says, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. He says Christ has introduced us to God's gift of undeserved grace. We have access. And what's amazing is that this access to the grace of God through Jesus, that, you know, this most important access of all, that it's absolutely free. It's free. It cost Jesus a trip to the cross, but it costs us nothing. A pastor gave a sermon on grace to a small mining town, and after the service, one of the miners approached him, and the man was looking kind of distraught, and he told the pastor, "I would give anything if I can believe that God really forgives sins. I can't believe he'll forgive me if I just turn to him. It's just too easy. It's just too cheap." And so the pastor said, "You were working in the mine yesterday, weren't you?" And the miner said, "Yes, of course." And pastor said, "How did you get out of the pit?" "The way I usually do, I got into the cage and I was pulled to the top." "Well, how much did you pay to come out of the pit?" And the miner said, "Nothing." "And you weren't afraid to trust yourself to the cage?" "No," said the miner. "It was cheap for me, but it cost the company a lot of money to sink that shaft." And as soon as he said it, a change came over his face and he got it. He understood it. God's grace and God's forgiveness are free for us. But it was purchased at a very, very costly price. A price paid by Jesus on the cross. So to be a Christian, all right, to be a Christ follower means you accept that very truth. That's the jump-off point for any believer, that's what Paul means when he says we are justified by faith. It is faith that makes us acceptable to God. Our faith makes us right with God. And I want you to please know that you don't deserve, okay? You don't deserve access to this amazing grace. There's nothing you've done to earn it. And yet Christ offers it freely. You just have to accept it through the gift of faith. I don't know much about Copernicus, to be honest, but you know, apparently he was a great scientist, one of the greatest in history, and he was also a man of faith, by the way. And he had these words inscribed on his tombstone: "Oh God, the faith that you gave to St. Paul, I cannot ask. And the mercy you did show to St. Peter, I dare not ask. But Lord, the grace you did show to the dying thief on the cross, that, Lord, show to me." The thief crucified beside Jesus turns to him before he dies and he says, "Jesus, remember me when you enter your kingdom." Jesus said, "Don't worry, I will. Today you will join me in paradise." And if you think about it, the criminal didn't have to do anything, jump through a number of hoops or do a certain amount of good or whatever. He only had to ask and believe. And that kind of grace is all that any of us can really claim. I mean, as people with sin, as people with all kinds of hang-ups and mistakes that we make constantly, it's a wonder we have access to grace, but we do. And Jesus' word to us is this: the door is always open. You can stay away if you wish. You can engage in, you know, all kinds and manners of sinful lifestyles and activities, but when the time comes that you really need grace, when the day dawns that you're ready to make the worthwhile change, The door is open. You don't really deserve it, but the door to God's grace is open nonetheless. And we have access. That's how amazing God's love and grace is. The word, you know, the Greek word that Paul uses for access literally means having an introduction. It's as though in ancient times we were travelers to a foreign land carrying with us letters of introduction to the court of the king. And most of us today already possess such a letter of introduction to a foreign government. I mean, that's what a passport is. Literally, it's a letter of introduction. And if you, as a citizen of the United States, open your passport, you'll read these words on the very first page. The Secretary of State of the United States of America hereby requests all whom it may concern to permit the citizen/national of the United States named herein to pass without delay or hindrance, and in case of need to give all lawful aid or protection. It's a letter of introduction. And when Paul celebrates access to grace, he's picturing a small scroll rolled up and bearing the wax seal of a king or a governor. And you can't cross the border without a passport, and you can't experience the grace of God without presenting your letter of introduction. In other words, your confession of what Christ has done for you. And there's a second meaning to this Greek word, meaning access. It's also a sense of a harbor or a safe haven. I don't know, I mean, some of you sail, but sailors always want to know where the nearest harbor is so they can beat a straight path to the safety in case a storm blows up. Is that correct, Trevor, or am I making that up? So imagine, I mean, what it's like to be on a small little boat far out to sea. And you can barely glimpse the shoreline. And the sailors may know the rough location of a small opening, an inlet that leads to a sheltered harbor. Finding it, though, is like locating the proverbial needle in a haystack. And it makes it much easier if they have a lighthouse beacon to guide them, or a fog horn that calls out in case of thick fog to guide them home. And so God is not some distant, remote, uncaring being. In Jesus Christ, God comes to us personally, and Christ is our letter of introduction, and he's the lighthouse beacon that guides us into the safe harbor. And so the good news is that anyone who accepts Christ as Lord has access to God's grace. The door is always open. But with this good news comes a responsibility. And as Christ followers, we have a responsibility to help others discover the same access to grace that's been granted to us. And it can be as simple as a ramp, you know, there by the entrance, that allows people with disabilities to safely enter the sanctuary so they can have access to the building without feeling embarrassed. Access is why during the pandemic, nearly every church in the land found some money to install streaming audio and video equipment, and why it's essential for us to keep offering our services online, even after it's now possible for most people to attend worship in person. I mean, computers and smartphones, nearly everyone owns them, these powerful devices for all kinds of experiences to have access to that. And so why should the church be any different? Access is why the pastor and the elders are willing to take communion home to the sick and elderly people who have a hard time getting out of their homes. They can't physically join our church community in worship, so we bring community to them. And access also has to do with welcoming, okay? Welcoming those people who are different from us. For too long, as Martin Luther Jr., Martin Luther King Jr. said, Sunday morning at 11 is the greatest segregated hour in American life. Are we really about the business of providing access? Or is it mere words? And so what it really comes down to is whether we are willing to offer access to our very selves. We have received access to grace through Jesus Christ. Our response to this good news should be to open ourselves up, to make ourselves accessible to others as God's people. People of the open door. We open ourselves up to others. We offer ourselves to others so that when they get to know us as people, they may just discover also the faith within us. As Christians, we are called to live as people of the open door. Receiving grace, holding the door open for others, and holding ourselves open for others. So may we all come to learn day by day to rely on God's grace alone. May we all trust in God's promises that we will hear again today at the baptismal font. May we know ever more fully God's grace as we have seen it in Christ Jesus. Because access is an extremely valuable commodity. And in God's realm, the only access that matters is access to grace. May we truly realize in the deepest part of us that our Lord Jesus truly offers us access to that grace. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for your grace that is so undeserved, but you offer it freely to us. It's a gift. All we need to do is accept it in the name of Jesus. I lift up everybody here this morning and I ask that you will bless them with your grace, with your presence, as we give you thanks in the name of Jesus. Amen.